Welcome to The Empathetic Man. My name is Sethi Hillier, and I'm joined with Nimesh Gupta, and together we are going to help explore how you as a man can be more empathetic. Each week, we are going to dive into a topic that may relate to your relationship with your spouse, your kids, or just life in general. We are looking forward to your engagement and your feedback, so let us know through your comments what other questions we can tackle, and we hope you enjoy this week's episode. Hey everyone, welcome back to The Empathetic Man. Sethi here with Nimesh. And, you know, as we continue to go through this very unprecedented time, this topic that I wanted to, you know, just bring up today and kind of just spend some time, you know, rapping about it was just how we're in this situation, again, with lots of different variables that have kind of been changed out of our normal life, and how, you know, I think it's important for people to still try to remain focused on some of the things that they used to do. Because I feel like if you stop doing some of those things that you used to do, you used to love, I feel like you start to lose the wind beneath your sail, and you start to, again, lose some of the things that, you know, really kind of kept your drive. And I'm not 100% sure, like, if that's always going to be the case with everything that has been kind of put at hold because of the situation around the coronavirus. But I just started thinking about this more and more, and I was trying to figure out like an analogy that I feel like may resonate. But, you know, the thing that kind of popped into my mind was, if you're trying to cook a meal or you're watching a cooking show, you know, there's this thing where I feel like when you're watching this cooking show that the chef has everything ready to go, like everything is measured out. So as you're watching them, they're just kind of, you know, emptying their little cups and their bowls into the pot. And then they're making everything in front of you. And at the end, it like looks actually really easy, and it comes out really well, perfect. And at the end of the, you know, episode, they have this really amazing dish that they can enjoy. And I feel like in life, people want that. They want this kind of still easy experience that they used to have, but that's no longer happening. And so as a result, it's like, well, I can't do it anymore. You know, I'm just gonna have to take the next 3, 4, 6 months off. So I was hoping in this episode, we could talk about that still, and we could try to figure out, you know, is there a path forward on whatever it is that is important to you? And I have some examples I can share personally, but that was kind of the genesis. I know it was a little murky in terms of a description, but it's really about helping people get comfortable with being uncomfortable and not letting those disruptions stop their motivation to do the things that they still love. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it's a really important topic. And I think a lot of it has to deal with really first digesting what that new normal is, which also requires understanding what the old normal was and what the delta between the two are. So for example, you know, I had a pretty big life experience happen in the past 2 weeks where, you know, my father was injured and had to go to the ER, which was really scary. And I saw firsthand how when he went to the ER, he had to go by himself. And the reason is because right now with the coronavirus, they're not letting any visitors into the ER. And if you just think about it at a high level, that's really insane, because if the person injured is disoriented or does not know what's going on, they essentially are going by themselves to the ER, and, you know, their family members are kind of just waiting by the phone, listening to what happened, or waiting to hear about what happened. Now, where I'm going with this is, I remember seeing a post on LinkedIn about someone saying something about how his uncle had passed away by himself in the hospital, and how he was advocating for folks to stay at home because he wanted the coronavirus to be contained. And I remember when reading that, I kind of just like glossed over it, in the sense where like I felt bad for that person, but I didn't really appreciate what that person meant by that. And I think, you know, I'll start this off, and then would love to hear your examples, and then I'll provide it. But kind of the framework or the high level way I'm thinking about this is, you know, we try so hard to be empathetic, but in order to be empathetic, you really have to acknowledge that there is a world of stuff out there that you don't know anything about. And just because it hasn't happened to you doesn't necessarily mean it, one, can't happen to you, but number two, it doesn't happen to others. And what this made me realize was, man, like it kind of challenged me to be even more empathetic, in the sense where, like, everyone has, there's always a backstory, right? There's always a reason why people are going through things. And I think sometimes I summarily say, oh, well, you know, that person's overreacting or this and that. But what this made me realize was, man, like, everyone is kind of going through their own thing. And I really need to kind of dig down and not try to actively figure out what I don't know, but be open-minded to that. I know that was like a big kind of a soliloquy, if you will, but I just wanted to provide my thoughts about that as we tee this up. Does that make sense?
Totally. And I mean, again, the situation you discussed with your, you know, your father, I mean, that is definitely something where, again, there's going to be things that I think none of us can kind of even prepare ourselves for, because that is just completely new terrain, new territory. And it's like, hey, not being able to be with your loved ones or your family in the hospital. I mean, that's just uncharted territory that I think people are going to take quite a bit of time to process or even ever process. And so I want to make sure that, you know, this is not going to work for everyone. And I do think that there's going to be still topics that people are going to have and be like, well, I used to do this, I can no longer do this. And it may just be something that has to be kind of put on the side. And then with respect to what you were talking about at the end, like, I do think also, just, you know, in these situations, especially when you're in your home and you're trying to like have this dialogue with your family, depending on your house situation or your spouse or your kids, there is that, again, there's going to be that empathetic layer that I think is always going to be critical, because, you know, it's very easy for someone to, you know, even for me, it's like, who was I talking to? I was talking to a friend of mine who was telling me about this movie, 1917. It's like that, I think it's kind of recent, maybe 6 months old. And I think there were some, you know, celebrities talking about it. And I think George Lucas's wife said something about how she's just been so like frustrated being at home for like 5 or 6 weeks or whatnot. And, you know, she's a really successful woman. And then I think they had watched that movie. And then he says, hey, you know, and I don't know why this conversation's happening over social media, but maybe I'm mistaken, but something to the effect of like, hey, well, at least it wasn't like 1917, where these soldiers were literally in the bunkers for 4 to 5 years. And it's just like, talk about perspective, right? But at the same time, you can say that all day long. You're like, oh, it could be so much worse. It could be this, it could be that. But that doesn't mean that you still want to have that empathy, right? Because whether this is something that's, you know, small for you, it could be huge for somebody else. Or, and right, there's all these other things that may may not have come to light in terms of your understanding. So I remember I think we had a good conversation about this in a prior podcast about how to just be better listeners to kind of even keep your cool at the house. So I definitely agree with that. The kind of other thing that I wanted to speak to on this was, again, kind of, and I, you know, obviously the person who I talk to the most besides you is my wife. And so I feel like I'm kind of like always going back and forth with her on certain ideas and topics. And, you know, it was a conversation that me and her had that really kind of sparked this topic, because as I was talking to her, you know, I could sense that there was things that she was, you know, still struggling with. And it was just like, and then for her, you know, I feel like because I have the role of also working, it's kind of forced me to still have things that are normal for me, that are part of my normal day to day. Whereas before this, you know, two of the kids were at school or preschool, and it was just like the one infant. But now she's like, okay, now I have to deal with three all the time. And there were things that she was trying to do personally that were kind of part of her passions, or, you know, things that she wanted to add to her life. And a lot of that stuff is kind of been put on hold. And that was when this whole thing kind of came up, where we were talking and I told her, I was like, you know what is interesting, when I listen to you, I feel like, and I'm talking to my wife, I say, I feel like you want everything ready. It's like you want to, you know, you want to go into that workout class and you want, you know, everything perfect. And, you know, you want the machines to be all set up with a towel already on it, or you want the weights next to you all kind of racked and ready to go. And I get it. Like, that's so cool. It's like, feels so great. Cause you walk in, everything is kind of pre-made for you. You do your thing, you leave 20, 45 minutes later, and you feel like you had an amazing workout. Whereas, you know, that's not happening, right? Like, if you go to our house, you know, there's like crap everywhere and we're trying to like make do. And that's when, and there's this expression, and I think the reason why we like, I always bring up food is because we cook a lot. And there's an expression in, I think, French cooking, I think it's called mise en plan. I don't have a great accent, but I think it means everything in its place. So before a chef cooks, they always want mise en plan. They want everything in its place so then they can do their thing effectively. And so I was telling her, I was like, it's actually a really valuable trait, because that means that person has to be quite organized to kind of have everything ready to go. And then again, they can be extremely effective. The challenge is if you're in a very tumultuous situation, trying to create organization can be so difficult that it can halt you or literally paralyze you. And then it's like, you know, and I'm not going to even like work out. I'm not going to cook. I'm not going to do this for 3 or 4 months until life goes back to normal. And I think in the absence of like a clear end date for what we're going through, I think that's where me and her started talking like, wait, well, let's create a new normal. Let's create a new reality where we can still do what we used to, but we know it's not going to be pre-made. It's not going to be pre-packaged, open it up and it's ready to go, but it's going to be real time and it's going to be a little messy and sometimes ugly, but we're still going to get some sort of, you know, success, whether it's, you know, what we're trying to cook, how we're trying to train, how or exercise, or how we're trying to educate our kids, or how we're just trying to like, you know, keep ourselves excited and motivated. You know, she's into, you know, she wants to go and learn more about real estate, right? So she's now trying to do more around real estate studying, or she's a great photographer. And so she loves music, right? So now she's trying to like get into piano. So there's some really cool things. And the other side, like the flip side is like, hey, you might have like the next 2 months to really get good at these things. But again, how do you do it in a quote unquote messy environment? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And on your end, or on her end rather, is she by nature more of someone who is a planner, or is she not? And the reason I ask is because I wonder if how someone's temperament is, or just characteristics are, influences how they approach this new normal versus normal.
Yeah. I mean, she is. She's totally like the type of person who wants everything like, you know, organized and kind of put in its place. You know, you could even say borderline perfectionist. And so because of that, if it's not there, it's kind of like, oh, I'll do it later. I'll do it when I have more time, or this is not the right thing. I, on the flip side, am the type of person who is like, you know, if it's not perfect, it doesn't matter. We can always improve, and, you know, at least let's just get something going. And it's interesting because like I can see my kids evolving, and I feel like sometimes my son, who's six, he's kind of like, I feel like he's a little bit of blending, but I think I'm starting to even see he's a little bit more like about being organized, which again is great. I think organization is so awesome. And if any, that's one thing that I feel like I lack and I'm always trying to improve on. But it's been fascinating watching an organized person in an unorganized environment and what happens. And that's where I don't know. Maybe I don't know if that's the exception or the rule, but I feel like that's probably a good that's probably a good kind of general kind of situation for a lot of people. And I think, hey, there's got to be a good happy medium.
Yeah, totally. And I definitely can relate to Netta, because I feel like I'm the same way, where I am that organized, almost perfectionist, where everything needs to be just kind of lined up, in the sense of, and you know, on her end, I can appreciate as well. It's not like she doesn't work for that lining up. She does the underlying work to make sure that the preparation is in place so that, you know, all of those bowls of ingredients, if you will, are lined up. I think for me, running a company actually, like, I don't want to say desensitized me, but like, it really prepared me in this weird way for what's going on right now, in the sense where, I mean, you know how this is. Every single day, there is something different. I mean, it's insane. Even if you try to plan for something, it's almost impossible to plan. And I think what's interesting is, you know, for different people in different ways, like shock to the body, just like when you work out, and I think I used this analogy earlier, is required for the body to continue to grow. And I think what's happening with the coronavirus is that it's really shocking a lot of folks. It's shocking their day-to-days, their routines. And I think they're going to come out stronger. But the reason I just bring that up is sometimes, and I'm not saying that, you know, Netta hasn't had any of these kind of shock-worthy or shock-like events, but what's interesting is, I know for me personally, like, just again, running a business, and I guess what happened in the last 2 weeks with my dad, it's kind of prepared me to, with this mindset of about like, look, we have to kind of make with what's due. And, you know, at a high level, if I even think about it, that's how we kind of operate our company too, right? It's like, that's what we tell our team at the end of the day, right? Like, when this whole COVID thing happened, it was a bummer, but we kind of dug deep. We figured out what was going to go on. We revised our board plan. We communicated with our investors. We communicated with our team. And we kind of, you know, then started running again. So the reason I just bring that out is I wonder if it has to do with, like, you know, being shocked and having this kind of experience that forces you to really to think that way. And I think what I'm curious about is, on your end, Sati, what went on in your life? Because I do think there, like, everyone needs that or has that shock worthy event. Like, if you don't mind sharing, what do you think, what happened to you, or did you experience for you to have and adopt this mindset? Or was it just kind of something that you were born with? Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And again, I think the thing that I'm, you know, we're all learning in real time about this situation right now is, it's not just shocking, it's like a prolonged shock. Because I think a lot of times we have shock, but and change and kind of like unique experiences. But, you know, usually it's like, unless it's like maybe a traumatic event, like you were in this horrific car accident and you're like now going to be bedridden for the next 6 months. I mean, that I think, you know, is going to be a very prolonged change of lifestyle. But normally it's like, oh, you know, something happened and, you know, after a week or a month, you know, life goes back to normal, or it starts to go back to normal. Whereas and I think that was even what we were facing internally, right? We were at home and we were just like, okay, like, this is going to suck. You know, obviously it's scary. And there's no real clear understanding of what we're dealing with, but it sounds like we'll get our act together, you know, in the next month or so. And now it's, you know, we're getting into like 2.5-3 months. And I think it's that prolonged, where now I think people who were on one end, maybe they're super organized, maybe they're kind of fly by the seat of their pants, but now they're all kind of like, hey, this is like, I don't want to stall my life. So I need to figure out how to, you know, make best of this situation. And some people may not be saying it. I think for me, like, you know, because I spend so much time at home and like I'm, you know, interacting with my wife on so many different levels, we, you know, we just start to like notice things about each other. And it wasn't even like, hey, this is something you need to improve. It was more of like a observation. And it was, you know, it's like that situation where it's like when something bothers you, it's a very clear distinction. But it's like when something happens, people make it like, let's say someone does something and it's a frustrating situation. Well, there's the act of noticing the situation is frustrating, and then there's the act of being frustrated. And I feel like it's a real delicate situation. Like, I constantly notice frustrating situations, but I try not to get frustrated, because once I get frustrated, it's like I'm taking on that pain, and I'm the one that's like has to now walk around the house or whatever, like, quote unquote, frustrated. And I would notice that, right? We would all be doing stuff, something would happen, and it would be frustrating or it would be upsetting or whatever, but it was like, okay, I see it. And sometimes you have to just laugh, because you're just like, oh my gosh, like, how much more of this can I take? But the reason I bring it up is because I was trying to, like, for me, myself personally, really define that difference between noticing the situation and the event and noticing how I personally am, like, absorbing it. And so that was just, you know, the reason I brought that up, just because, again, like, I feel like a lot of this stuff starts to happen. Like, if you're constantly frustrated, or if you're noticing things and it's frustrating you, and then you're frustrated, I feel like you're going to be just really, you know, bitter or this or that. And it's like, you're stuck. And so that's where, you know, me and my wife started talking about, hey, you know, what other things can we do to help each other in this, like, very unshaky environment. Now, going back to your other question though, about like, how do I kind of address it, or something happened to me? I don't think I was ever kind of this type of person who was always trying to, like, you know, have everything lined up and all my kind of T's crossed and my I's dotted. I think I just kind of had a somewhat not normal childhood. So I think maybe just because of that, I was already kind of, you know, just used to the fact that things don't always go my way. Like, you know, whether it's like I was living in this state, and then soon after I was in another state, or, you know, I kind of had like the, you know, mom and dad thing. And then soon after, it was just my brother and my mom. And then all of a sudden we're now like, my mom remarries. So I think, like, I've always kind of had like lots of just these shocking moments. And I think that's just kind of prepared me, right? Like what you said, right? Like, being in a company, you're right, like, we can never plan for every day. I think we can try our best, and I think we can try to encourage, you know, a framework to follow. But yeah, literally every day we're like finding new things. And you're right, and I think it's just like that, it's that practice. We're good at it. We've been practicing so much that we know how to handle, you know, the shock and awe. Whereas, again, for people who don't deal with that, it is very disconcerting. It is uncomfortable. And I do think that it's a skill set that you can get better at through time. So I don't think I'm anything, I'm not special. I think it was just, I've just experienced it a lot. And I take that, right? I take this constant practice. And then I also take this kind of mindset that I try to do, which is to observe the situation, whether it's like a sad situation, it's a happy situation, it's a frustrating situation, it's a worrisome situation, right? Like with the company, like, you know, there was times where I was really fearful of our business and its, you know, potential outcome because of, you know, budget or customers or runway or this and that. And then I started to tell myself that, like, I can observe the situation and it's a scary situation, but I don't want to be scared, or I don't want to be this. And it's not like I'm perfect. I still feel that. But every time I feel it now, I try to just, again, you know, like we talked about before, like name it to tame it, and really try to assess where that's all coming from, so I can pull myself apart and be like, yeah, that is frustrating. And I can totally, you know, sympathize and empathize with what you're going through, but I'm not going to be drawn into it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I think, I don't know how to unpack this kind of shock-worthy event even more. It could be like life events, specific life events. It could be things that you experience in your childhood, which it seems like on your end, it's the latter. But again, like one of the coolest reasons I like doing this podcast is trying to just suss out how I want to raise my kids and what I want to teach them. And also for them, when they are listening, when they're older, to kind of have an understanding as to kind of where, you know, I was coming from, if you will. And, you know, one thing that I do want to do for my kid, or for my kids is like, I want to prepare them in, for this kind of like, things aren't going to be lined up and you have to adapt to the new normal and it's fine. Like it's one of those things where I want to make sure that they kind of understand that. And, you know, to wrap it up on my end, you know, going back to what happened with my dad, you know, folks who know me know that like, I don't have a temper, but I do lose my cool like easily at some times. And what's interesting is through this whole process, my dad was in the ER and then the ICU, and I must have spoken with at least, you know, 50 different people, not even exaggerating, in terms of doctors at the hospital, nurses at the hospital, and, you know, they shift on and off, right? So they have shifts from 7 to 7. So when a new shift comes, you're talking to a new doctor, a new attending physician, and then at least 3 new nurses. And then when this thing happened, we kind of created a panel of our own doctors, friends, friends of friends, who we could kind of triangulate what was going on. And through that whole process, I didn't lose my cool once, which was like insane to me. And it just kind of made me realize, and I felt proud in the sense where I do think it has been this adaptation to understanding, look, I can't control everything, but at the same time, I still can have some type of a perfectionist like mentality where, you know, even though I couldn't control what was going to happen with my dad, each time I did speak with someone, I was, you know, I took notes. I made sure that I was able to ask the questions that I wanted to, et cetera. So I just say all that because I do think it's something that we need to remind ourselves and our significant others and our families about, in the sense where, like, look, things may not be perfect and this new normal is the new normal and that's fine. And it may, like, at a high level, it may seem like it sucks, but at the end of the day, that's life. And I'm not saying it's life in a pessimistic way. I'm just saying it in a sense where it's like, shit happens and you have to, you know, you have to try your best to accommodate and adapt as much as possible.
Yeah. And I mean, what you just talked about and about how you weren't able to lose your cool, right? It was scary. The situation was scary. It was worrisome. Like, it was, you know, there was a lot of unknowns, but you were, at least from what I'm gathering, you were not like absorbing that feeling. You were observing it, not absorbing it. And I think that's really amazing. That's hard to do. And I think you've been able to do that because you've been practicing it for so long. We've been talking about this for so long before you and I even talked about this. You were already, you know, practicing a lot of this. And I think that's where, and that's fantastic. And going back to the kids, like, you know, I'm not saying now what we need to do is like give them a weekly shock, but I do feel like it is a good practice to, you know, give them a few uncomfortable situations from time to time. This one obviously is more uncomfortable than I think we all expected. And, you know, you kind of have to, like, you know, gauge on when you want to do it. But I think that makes, you know, that makes for a more well-rounded person, because, you know, if everything is always expected to go one way or the other and it doesn't, and you're not ready for it, I mean, that's when people panic, right? Like, that's when you hear about situations where it's like something happened and they're either deer in headlights, or, you know, they react in such an unusual way that it becomes even more it makes the situation even worse. And, you know, it's kind of like, and maybe it's a dumb analogy, but it's like, it's probably why, like, you know, they're constantly like having, you know, soldiers out there like training in like the worst and harshest environment, because then when they're in the war zone, it's like, okay, I'm ready for this. And so I don't know. It's just, you know, the goal of this podcast for me was, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who may be listening who have kind of had to put their life on hold, and totally get it. But because we don't know how long this is going to be, and because there's things that you probably still love to do, and maybe you're the type of person who normally kind of wants everything kind of dialed in and buttoned up before you kind of proceed, I think this is a good time to, again, like lean into this shocking situation and lean into this uncomfortable, you know, reality, and figure out, well, can I still do stuff? And I actually am really, really confident most of you can still do things in this situation, and you can still, you know, not do it perfectly, but you can still do things that are going to give you somewhat of that, excitement, somewhat of that pleasure you were seeking, and not feel like you have to kind of put everything on hold. And I think at the end of it, when we come out of it, you'll be better for the next time you hit a shock, because you'll be like, yeah, I've gone through this before in some other way or another. And I know that, you know, life, like, yeah, shit happens. Like, that's the best way to describe it. And I know how to react to that. I know how to not just react. I know how to adapt to that. I think that's a better word.
Yeah, I like that. And I think that's a good place to end it. That's I really like that.
Awesome. Well, hey, dude, this is always so fun to like break things down with you and kind of just go deep. And hopefully everyone else enjoyed it. And we will talk to everyone next time.
And that is a wrap. Thank you so much for listening all the way till the end of today's episode. We hope you enjoyed The Empathetic Man. Our goal is to help you on your journey to become more empathetic and ultimately become the best version of yourself. If you enjoyed today's episode, feel free to share it with your family, your friends, your network, anyone who you think is looking to become more empathetic. They can be a man, woman, it doesn't matter. The goal here is to help the world be more empathetic one step at a time. Now, we would also love your feedback. If you can, give us your feedback on the Apple iTunes. You can give us your comments as well as you can rate this podcast. That way we can get more viewers and more people thinking about how they can become more empathetic. Thank you again so much, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.